Monday.
This is Matt Connickson. I'm the sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan along with Whitney Pittman. Today's rains across South Dakota, southern North Dakota, southern Minnesota will boost soil moisture for the short term. World Weather Incorporated says mostly dry and warm conditions will occur Tuesday through Friday, melting the remaining snowpack. Rain is expected Saturday into next week Monday, boosting topsoil moisture for the western production areas, although more moisture will be needed.
Peter Bakken says calving season is well underway for their operation at Beaver Creek in southwest Minnesota. Today's snow and rain have made things more difficult.
My disposition isn't very good today, but I remind myself that up to now, it has gone really well. The sun's been out, or if the sun hasn't been out, it hasn't been precipitating. But rain makes grain, rain makes mud, but rain grows grass. So it's totally a love-hate situation. But so today, things are going as well as to be expected. We've got spaces to put wet calves in and that kind of thing. And sounds like by later this afternoon, it will stop precipitating, and tomorrow will be 50 degrees and sunny.
Bakken says the weather has been very diverse the last couple of weeks.
The snow is so wet that the downspouts on the sheds look like it's in the middle of a summertime inch rain, but currently it is raining. But yeah, it couldn't figure out if it wanted to be big snowflakes or wet snow or sleet or whatever, but the snow that everybody got north of here in varying amounts, anywhere from, you know, a couple inches to a foot or more, we got just rain. So was really thankful for that. The rainwater goes in the ground and it seems like it dries up a whole lot quicker than if we've got snow.
Calving progress is ahead of where they were last year.
We're about 40 calves ahead of where we were last year. I don't know why, but I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, we were doing some field work pretty much the second week of March here, and that made for nice calving, and ground was dry, almost too dry, so we were thankful for the first precipitation that we got.
Brazil's soybean harvest is about three quarters complete. Soybean and Corn Advisor President Michael Cordonier says the crop has been widely variable.
And it's looking sort of, I would say, average. But there's a big disparity about the estimates. USDA is very high. Some other folks in Brazil are very low. And we got a difference of like 20 million tons between the high and the low. And the disparity is people think the area is higher than what CONAB is estimating in Brazil. And it's all in that northeast area of Brazil with a lot of new expansion.
Argentina is expected to have a good crop.
Their corn crop is about 8% harvested. Early yields are good. There might be some damage in localized areas due to the flooding and the winds and that sort of thing. The soybeans, a couple percent harvested, and they're doing pretty good as well. So I think it's got twice as much as last year. So you have to say it's a good year compared to last year when you double the production. So Argentina is doing okay. So what was lost in Brazil for soybeans kind of made up to a large part by increases in soybean production in Argentina.
Rainfall in Brazil will be limited in the south and west through Sunday. World Weather Incorporated says rains will continue periodically and will be heavy enough to improve topsoil moisture in many areas. Far southern Brazil will be drier through midweek, with some rain developing late this week into next week. Rain is expected to return to eastern Argentina and Paraguay this week, while west, central, and southern Argentina will be drier for the next week to 10 days.
Highly pathogenic avian influenza was confirmed today in an Idaho dairy herd. This farm recently added cattle to its herd from another state with the virus. This news would suggest the virus is being spread from cow to cow. That would be in addition to the cattle that got HPAI from infected birds. For cattle, the symptoms include the loss of appetite and a drop in milk production.
The Duluth Seaway Port Authority says the first salty of the 2024 shipping season arrived at the port of Duluth Superior over the noon hour. The Portugal flagship Barbo G is scheduled to load nearly 21,000 tons of Durham wheat at the Ceres Riverland Ag Facility on Rice Point. The ship will carry her cargo to Algeria.
European Union agriculture ministers have signed off on a deal to extend tariff-free farm imports from Ukraine. Restrictions were added due to complaints that the original agreement hurt EU agricultural markets. This agreement now goes to the European Parliament for its approval.
The senior leadership from the White House, USDA, and Transportation Department met with agricultural stakeholders Friday to discuss the partial closure of the Port of Baltimore. Government officials cited the port's importance in moving farm commodities and machinery, saying it would reopen the shipping lanes as soon as possible. The ag groups represented at the meeting included Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, and commodity groups representing soybean, dairy, feed, fertilizer, and sugar industries.
Barge traffic on the Mississippi River may face issues for a third year. A report from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said the unusually warm and dry winter could potentially impact navigation. At one point in 2022, more than 100 tugboats and 2,000 barges were grounded. The ongoing drought resulted in similar issues last year. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com. You can sign up for our weekly FarmNet News e-newsletter. You can also download this broadcast. Also, follow us on Facebook and X, all at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Eric Putnam says there are limited opportunities for new business at hearings left in the 2024 legislative session. While this is mostly a policy year, there are some budget considerations.
Our policy bill is pretty straightforward and done, and we're going to start talking about our budget bill, which we'll have ready to present on April 15th. So in terms of issues that are in them, we do have an actually comparatively reasonable budget target this time. For the history, like first time in the history of ag, I think, we weren't actively disrespected by the budget targets. But a lot of those resources are going to go to remediate the nitrate crisis in the Karst region. So we have to figure out how we're going to spend those resources that we've been given for that purpose. But there is also a little bit of discretionary money that we might do some other stuff with. So that's kind of where we are in terms of calendar.
Putnam says soil and water quality concerns have been top of mind this session.
You know, by and large, farmers are really concerned about soil quality and water quality across the board. That's the whole state. It's not just the Karst region. I know we've been talking a lot about nitrates and about drinking water in that part of Minnesota, but it's a big concern for everyone across the state. So we are taking it seriously and doing what we can, but we are consistent with how I do this stuff in the Senate. We do carrots, not sticks. So my goal was to come up with better incentives to encourage people to do what they already want to do, which is take care of the land and the water.
U.S. Meat Export Federation has released a report showing the economic impact of 14.6% per bushel in corn in 2023 by red meat exports. The Jude Group founder Dave Jude explains.
Red meat exports, that's both beef and pork, used about almost 513 million bushels of corn for feed. And if you take the calendar year average price in 2023 of $5.95, that's about $3.05 billion of corn purchases that were directly leveraged by red meat exports.
Jude says red meat exports specifically account for about 87 cents per bushel of revenue.
We estimate that the value of red meat exports to a bushel of corn is about 87 cents. If you take that 87 cents per bushel and apply that across the whole 2023 corn crop, That's going to total $13.35 billion of additional revenue to corn production that wouldn't be there if there wasn't the demand from the red meat exports.
USDA is investing up to $22 million to expand technical assistance for livestock producers to adopt conservation practices on grazing lands. The NRCS will accept proposals for the Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative until May 26th. The partnerships should expand the footprint of conservation on grazing land and help reach underserved producers.
Acres and Shares is reporting 45 American Crystal Sugar Beet shares sold for $6,000 per share during the week ending March 29th. So far for the 2023-24 market share trading season, 4,570 shares have sold with an average price of $5,337 per share. It's been a high of $6,000 and a low of $5,000 per share. The transfer deadline for sugar beet stock is April the 11th.
EverAg market analyst Cole Adams says the livestock market is trying to stabilize.
Had that bearish cattle and feed report a little over a week ago. Certainly all last week kind of fell back to some moving averages. Now trying to find our way back here. The cutout has certainly continued to kind of weaken over the last week. We find ourselves, feeder and live cattle, flirting with this 200-day moving average, which is certainly a critical moving average that a lot of chart people look at. So, you know, certainly we'll see how these futures try to play themselves out over the course of today and even tomorrow.
For more information from the Red River Farm Network, visit Facebook and X. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota's hemp growers and processors must apply for their 2024 license by April 20th. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture says a license is required for individuals and businesses for the 24 calendar year. Applications can be found on the Minnesota Department of Agriculture's website.
The corn and wheat markets started the week under pressure as traders looked to spring weather. Allendale chief analyst Rich Nelson says traders have moved past last week's stocks and acreage reports.
Keep in mind these reports were lightly positive for the corn side. They did move corn from a potential very, very bearish new crop situation to simply a bearish new crop situation. So this would be seen as lightly positive, and right now we're more or less waiting for the next step in terms of risk on discussions, which will be planting and also vegetative health, weather, so watching those two very closely here.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon, where May wheat Minneapolis is down 9.25 cents now, 6.35¾. September is down 6.5 at 6.54½. Chicago May wheat down 2.5 at 5.57¾. Kansas City May wheat down 8¾ at 5.76½. May corn down 5.5 at 4.36½. July corn's down 4.25 at 4.50¼. December corn down 2.5 at 4.75¼. May soybeans down 4 cents, 11.87½. August beans down 3.5 at $12.25. November soybeans down 1¾ at 11.84½. In Winnipeg, May canola is $6.10 a metric ton higher at $6.32.50 Canadian. April live cattle down $2.92 at $182.07. June down $4.10 at $176.15. August is down $4.45 at $173.65. April feeder cattle down $4.77 at $242.35. May feeder cattle down 422, now down 417 at 244.50. August feeder cattle down 522 at 253.60. April lean hogs 60 cents higher, 87.22. The May lean hogs $1.30 higher at 93.80. And June lean hogs 207 higher at 103.52. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently down 278 points at 39,529. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.